This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Beginning of April, and what has changed in our world? A few things have changed, including one Major League Baseball team thought it was okay to open the stadium for masked fans and trust that they would stay masked except for when they were eating or drinking. Think again. It was the video that was seen around the world of thousands of Rangers fans gathered together at Globe Life Park celebrating opening day, which normally, woohoo, is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, there were a lot of people that were not masked walking around the stadium. So what does that mean, if anything? We'll see, because you've got the top doc, Anthony Fauci, saying the U.S. is not going to mandate a vaccine passport, and infection rates are rising, but experts are disagreeing on what do you really call a surge anyway. This isn't France, after all. In France, it's a much different story, where cafes are bleeding because everything's been shuttered once again. And in California, the fear is the double mutant. It's a strange strain that has emerged in Cali. So once again, this is the road that we hoe at the top. And once again, my name's Kate Delaney. Thanks for joining us. If you've never been here before, it's a whole different world. So the double mutant, the variant of the coronavirus that's been discovered in California, scientists are worrying the strain could be more infectious. The hits keep on coming, don't they? The Stanford Clinical Virology Lab identified and confirmed one case of the variant, which first emerged actually in India. But they also identified it in the Bay Area. So there are seven other presumptive cases that are being screened by Stanford. This emerging strain is called, what I said, the double mutant, because it carries two mutations in the virus that help it latch onto cells. And we all get that, right? The importance of our cells and what happens with the virus. So the double mutant variant has been found in 20% of cases sequenced from India's hardest hit state, where coronavirus cases have surged more than 50% in the past week. So that's something to take note of. One of the variant's mutations is very similar to one of the coronavirus variants first detected in Brazil and South Africa. The other mutation is also found in a variant first detected in California. Boy, I wish I paid attention when I took biology class. How about you? I mean, seriously, this is the world we live in now. Like I said, it turns on this virus, the pandemic, your personal hygiene, your personal space. We're still in this strange bubble. But some of us have burst the bubble. Some of us have popped the bubble. Some of us have gotten vaccines and feel pretty safe about that and have done our 2 weeks after the second shot. Others are scared to death to get the shot because of some of what they've heard. Some of it's nonsense that they've dug up on the internet, and some of it is true stories about people who had some adverse side effects, and it scares them to death to think they're going to roll up their sleeve and put something in their arm that they really don't know that much about. And for that matter, there is still so much that is unknown about the virus. We have bright, smart scientists that are working on it, not just in the United States, but around the world. But this is the truth, right? This is where we are at. It's interesting. I started to talk about at the top the biggest sports event so far, where it was wide open and everybody was invited to the party that had a ticket, but they were supposed to mask up, was at the Texas Rangers ballpark in Arlington, Texas, a stone's throw away from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Governor Greg Abbott from Texas, the Texas governor, was supposed to throw out the first pitch, but said he wasn't going to do it because of moving the All-Star game out of Georgia. But I also think the optics wouldn't have looked good because of now how this story has exploded as, are you a bunch of idiots in Texas or are you brilliant? Because let's face it, what is happening is watching now the next couple of weeks to see if it becomes a super spreader event or not. I mean, 40,000 people filled the seats for the Rangers opening day. And you can look on any site you want to, including the Drudge Report, and they've got a link to it. So, as I said, lots of people with their mouths wide open were looking at this video. Now, how many of those people had been vaccinated? That, who knows? How many of those people were really social distancing and doing everything they could? And, you know, that's maybe a coin flip. We really don't know at this point. Again, it is one of those spring breaker moments. We kept bagging our eye did on the kids in Miami for jumping on cars and not really patronizing bars, just trying to tear it up in the streets of Miami to say we want our freedom and not wear masks, and the concern over that being a super spreader, so smashing it to down to an 8 p.m. curfew and police actually going up and down the streets, especially the main thoroughfare in Miami, to make sure that people were abiding by the curfew. And then you have this stadium event, and the only way to trace that is to see what the cases are like and if they shoot up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the next couple of weeks. Also going on in Washington, D.C., questions over safety at the Capitol. And will there be any kind of big changes with putting up different kinds of barricades because another Capitol police officer was killed on Friday when a guy rammed his car into the barricade and then jumped out wielding a knife. Luckily, one of the two cops hit survived, and just a sad story all the way around on that one. That's going to be debated, how much money goes toward protecting the Capitol, what it's going to look like. I mean, we just tore down, we meaning in Washington, they just tore down the barbed wire. Is there really conversation about putting that up again? I've heard there's rumors about that. And then there's the infrastructure bill. Have you looked at your roads and bridges lately? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you like the $2 trillion going toward part of it anyway, serious infrastructure and jobs? The reason that Joe Biden picked Pittsburgh to announce that a few weeks ago is because Pittsburgh has the most problems with the most bridges and repairs that are needed there. Do you live in an area where it's maybe not quite as bad? And when we go to the mailbag, plenty of you had thoughts on the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and his guilt over the death of George Floyd. There was a big moment in the courtroom on Monday. I'll talk about that as well as we head to the mailroom.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Now let's talk about the mail. When you talk about the mail, please, Mac, I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Dig in the mailbag.
Dig in the mailbag.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Yep, we didn't have to dig too far. Lots of comments from people celebrating the Baylor Bears and telling me my crystal ball is broken. Yes, it is. Okay, so I said Gonzaga. Give me a break. They looked good. But listen, I got an incredibly close family member who went to Baylor. He's excited. And my favorite roommate went to Baylor, so thumbs up all the way around. It's not a bad thing. It's a good story. It's a feel-good story all the way around. And then there's this. This one from John, listening in Wisconsin. Kate, wow. Derek Chauvin, he messed up all the way around. The police chief wasted no time in saying he violated policy while he was restraining George Floyd. I think this is the final proverbial nail in the coffin for Chauvin. Throw up the closing arguments and let's be done with it and lock him away. So if you don't know what John's talking about, Chief Ariando, I think that's how you say his name, said Chauvin's use of force on George Floyd in no way, shape, or form is anything that is set by policy. He said absolutely not, because that is what the question is, the kneeling on the neck for more than 9 minutes. And this has been maybe one of the biggest moments in the trial. People waiting to see what the Minneapolis police chief would tell the court, saying that he failed to follow policies on de-escalation, use of force, and offering medical aid to people in need when he ignored Floyd's cries for help while he was pinned beneath his knee. And the chief said the use of force should have ended as soon as Floyd stopped resisting. Once he stopped resisting, and certainly once he was in distress and trying to verbalize that, he should have stopped. Clearly, these are his words, clearly, when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back. That in no way, shape, or form is anything that's set by policy. It's not our training. It's certainly not part of our ethics or values. So this is the start of the second week of testimony in that trial. And he fired Chauvin, this chief, after what happened last May. And he said that what happened was, how he found out about all this, is that a Minneapolis, somebody in Minneapolis, a Minneapolis resident called him and said, "Chief, have you seen the video of your officer choking and killing that man at 38th in Chicago?" And he looked at the video right away that was shot by a bystander and eventually was viewed by millions of people around the world. And he spent hours on the stand describing department policies and training methods and said the neck restraint that Chauvin used on Floyd was not permitted under rules governing defensive tactics that police can use while trying to detain a suspect. He said that officers are actually trained to use conscious neck restraints with light to moderate pressure, but that Chauvin had gone too far. So this is on the heels of a lieutenant who has been the leader of Minneapolis's department homicide division, calling the use of force totally unnecessary. So they're lining this all up as to what happened with Floyd's tragic death, that it was not due to a lack of training. The training was there. And that what the chief is saying is he knew what he was doing. What happened to him was murder. The trial continues. The trial continues to move forward. And your prosecutors, I'll just throw this in and then I'm going to go to the rest of the mailbag, but prosecutors have struggled to convict police officers, particularly in murder or manslaughter cases. The prosecutors and some outside experts attribute that to police being given considerable legal latitude to use force, as well as a juror's hesitation to convict officers on the most serious counts. And then they say jurors and judges tend to find police officers trustworthy. This is why the whole painstaking process of the picking of the jurors for this trial and what do they really think, what lies beneath. All right, let's go to this one from Pita, who says, "Kate, my sister went to Baylor. I went to Texas Tech, but I know she's a proud Bear. After that win over Gonzaga, I don't think anyone truly believed, except for Baylor fans, that that was going to happen. And that is the magic of sports and why people who poo-poo it and try to say it's all nonsense should think again. The pure joy of watching those kids close the deal was magic." It is magic. And there are magic moments in sports. Yes, I agree. Coming up in our second hour, we go into the man cave. The Bears dominated the Bulldogs right from the start. I picked Gonzaga to win the whole thing. I watched them a bunch in the season. I watched Jalen Suggs with that buzzer beater in overtime to send them to the title game. I was not dissing on Baylor, but my choice was Gonzaga because I thought they had the better team defensively and offensively just by a little bit. Turns out they did not at all. Sometimes you have the hot hand and sometimes you don't. You got to give, you know, you got to give all credit to Baylor. You can't take away what they did at all. I mean, just really, really tremendous. Let's move to the next one. Sam is listening to us in New Orleans. And Sam says, "Kate, some days, I tell you what, I just don't even want to get out of bed listening to all the nonsense that's going on during this pandemic. Sometimes you have to shut it all down. So I appreciate when you give us some of the funny stuff and what you call odds and ends. There are other things that are happening in the world, but some days it sure does not feel like it. It feels like we're all living in some kind of a weird aquarium." Well, that's the first time I heard aquarium. But, yes, it does. It does feel like that, doesn't it? It's tough. I mean, even the strongest people I know are having down moments. where the groundhogness of what's happening, the stir craziness, is getting to them, and kids not in school, and depending on where they are in their life, that can make a really big difference. I mean, we're past a year, so with vaccines, though, you know, this is what we keep hearing. I know there's the anti-vaxxers. I know there's people who don't want to do it. For my money, I say vaccine. I know there's lots of things that we don't know, but there's lots of things that we do know, too. About 4 million people in the U.S. got a vaccine on Saturday. How about that? So the more people that get vaccinated, I think the better. The you know, talking about the Texas Rangers game at the top of this, the Rangers brought a woman out. They brought a woman out, I guess, for the first pitch, before the first pitch, whose whole family was wiped out by COVID. She was in a wheelchair, and she looked pretty young. And she had a mask on, and they said, please, we're... Said something about just a this is a reminder to be vaccinated, and that's why she's with us or something like that. I saw a clip on that, but she lost her husband and she lost her two sons. I can't imagine. So if the world opens back up and you've lost that many people in your life, how are you feeling? And she wanted to be on a bigger stage, I guess, to say, listen, this is why. So 4 million people in the U.S. get the shot. A lot of you have asked me about that. I got something from Jane. I got something from Alan. I've got something from a couple people about the virus and the shots and what do I think and how many. 1 in 4 adults are fully vaccinated, according to the White House senior advisor for COVID-19, who did a little news briefing. And the Biden administration is saying the U.S. is going to have enough coronavirus vaccine doses despite problems at a Baltimore manufacturing facility that now is being taken over by the parent company, which is J&J, Johnson & Johnson. More than 106 million people have gotten at least one coronavirus vaccine dose in the country. Over 555,000 people have died in the U.S. of coronavirus. And new cases of infection are rising, a 5% increase over the past week. Thanks for all of your emails. Remember, you can email me 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
To stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says the UK variant of the coronavirus is now in all 50 states. New data from the agency shows more than 15,000 cases of the highly transmissible variant in the U.S., with cases reported in all 50 states. Florida has more than 3,000 cases of the strain, with Michigan recording the second most, with more than 1,500 cases in the middle of a surge of new infections in that state. The rise in cases in some areas of the U.S. is coming as vaccination efforts are also increasing. The CDC says more than 167 million doses of COVID vaccine have been administered, And for the third straight day, the seven-day average is over 3 million doses per day. Nearly a third of Americans have now received at least one dose of COVID vaccine, with more than 62 million people now fully vaccinated. You're listening to USA Radio News. Calls for Vice President Kamala Harris to visit the southern border have been increasing as border officials say that illegal crossings have reached their highest levels in at least 15 years. New data shows that U.S. Customs and Border Protection took more than 170,000 migrants into custody last month. Jackson County, Texas Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach says that the vice president should visit the border. He tells Fox News that it could lead to a new conversation about the Biden administration's immigration policies.
Policies need to stop. We need to go back to the table. We've got to go back and have a conversation about this. When you have an urgency in your policies that outstrip your capabilities and endanger your citizens here in the United States, then that's leadership has to come up. You've got to admit sometimes that, in our urgency and our haste to put something together to be a welcoming nation, that's all fine and good. But you need to have local and state and federal conversations about how you're going to do that without endangering Texans and Americans here.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
For $200, what quarterback is hosting Jeopardy? Please, in the form of a question, who is Aaron Rodgers? Ding, ding, ding. Yes, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers does more than throw a football a long way, just so you know. Can you go from quarterback to genius nerd of trivia? Well, when the Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers started his 2-week stint as host of Jeopardy, it started on Monday, he looks pretty good, I have to say. He's thinking of it as an audition. He has been a fan of the show since childhood, and he actually won Celebrity Jeopardy in 2015. It's easier. He did say in an interview that if the viewers and producers like what they see, he'd be happy to make it his next career. He's very serious. He spent hours studying the technique of Alex Trebek, who died in November of 2020 from pancreatic cancer. He's been reading his memoir, and it's pretty interesting. The interesting part about this is he's learning. It's not as easy as it looks. I mean, Trebek, he really did have this down. This was his baby. It was his show. He fit the bill. He knew all the nuances of it, and there are. And let's face it, some of the questions are, I'm going to say, pretty hard, highbrow in some ways. And he said it's a big thrill, and he had to really learn some things along the way. And he said, you know, he started to pick up the second day. He was getting fewer and fewer cues, and when he had to throw to commercial breaks and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you're talking about like 305 clues to read that you've got one night to study and figure out the flow, the enunciation of the pause points on them. And he said he felt like he did a lot better into the games. Remember, Alex Trebek would, like, he just had this look. He would look at contestants, and it was just his way. And it would be like, I just always thought in his head, he was thinking, You really? You did not get that? His eyes did the talking. Like, you could tell. His eyes grew softer when somebody was smart and nailed the questions. And when there was a question he thought they should nail, he would just, oh, I'm sorry. It's whatever it was, you know, whatever the answer was. And for Aaron Rodgers, he said they used to, at his grandmother's house, they would get a week in the summertime where they had this habit of watching Jeopardy after dinner. He said, we'd watch it at night. We liked it. And he said, I don't watch a ton of TV. Sports and Jeopardy are the main things I watch. And he said, once he got to Green Bay, it was a nightly routine. So over the last 16 years, it goes on at 6 o'clock, whether he's taping it or watching it live. And he said he's seen the majority of episodes that whole time. And, you know, he feels like he's very serious that he could, this would be a dream job. He could do it. They film 46 days a year. He said he worked about 6 months out of the year last year. He worked 187 days this year in Green Bay, which gives him, what, 178, 179 to film 46 episodes. And he said it would be a dream to be the host. And when he was asked, are you interested, he has said several times, yes, 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 I am interested. Wonder if they would do that. I mean, could Aaron Rodgers pull it off? Part of me thinks that I do think he could pull it off, but I don't know that they would do that, especially a split. He's splitting the career, like in the beginning. He stays with football, and imagine the injuries that he could still succumb to in football. He, which could be anything, right? Like snap his leg, whatever it is. And then have to have those other days committed to Jeopardy. But it is a small amount of time. And if it was filmed at the right time, it's not impossible. Aaron Rodgers, your host of Jeopardy. It just feels kind of funny. But bravo to him for doing it, for putting himself out there and deciding he was going to do it. I'm just saying. Right? Jeopardy. I would be up all night. He's right. With all the enunciations, the points, how you say it. That was the brilliance of Alex Trebek. He made it look easy because he knew exactly how to say it. Did you ever hear him butcher a word? I certainly have seen a lot of Jeopardy. I don't think I saw him butcher any words ever. I mean, ever. All right, so before we bounce to our next segment where we're going to talk to a woman who's written a book about a giraffe, an interesting children's book. I'm such a giraffe nut. My two favorite animals besides, of course, woman's best friend, dog, right? Giraffes, and I like tigers. Those are my two faves. So even as a kid, go to the zoo, and I like the other animals, but what were the two they zoned in? Giraffe, giraffe, giraffe. Always want to see giraffe, and always want to see the tigers. Mm. And a book about a giraffe is unique. And I have seen, and I have had the privilege of petting a giraffe, and they have these kind of, I don't know if it's sandpapery tongue is the way to describe it. They have these long tongues. and when you feel that go across your hand, there is something about that. There is something about that feeling. It just doesn't leave you right away. I'm just saying, right? All right. Before we get there, though, a couple of quick notes about what people are doing with the whole pandemic thing. And I was reading a story in the Wall Street Journal about what are the new things people are doing besides, okay, roller skating is one of them. But another thing that's happening is, and this is for real, it's not a handful of people, it's a lot of people, so they're running out of them in mass producing them. But a new habit is hula hooping. You know, what's old is new. So if you ever had a hula hoop and you still have it, although it might be pretty beaten up, you can get it out of your garage and you can do the hula hoop thing again. And so whether it's boredom, which I can't believe people are bored, or they're trying to lose some pounds or whatever it might be, the hula hoop has made a huge comeback, and the mass production of it has really kicked in because of the, it's like the Peloton. It's like the poor man's Peloton in a way, because it's not very expensive, and people have gone crazy for the Peloton. So either you're getting these really super expensive bikes, or maybe you're getting a hula hoop. And it's not just women. I guess men are doing the hula hoop thing, too. Yeah. Okay, there you go, right? If it works, it works. I mean, that's the deal. That's what it is. This is scary to me, too, especially because we're taking the show here in a couple of weeks, and we'll be very close to this area. But a drone spotted a potential additional leak at like 2 in the morning of a Florida toxic wastewater reserve. And I was watching the video of this stuff, and you think, you don't think about this, right? Unless it's affecting your area. But this drone footage is frightening. It's where engineers and the crew are working around the clock to pump wastewater into Tampa Bay from Piney Point Reserve, which is about 40 miles south of Tampa. They fear that a second leak is a problem, and they determined the site was safe, though, to continue to work. So they're monitoring the seepage. The water from the seepage is on site in the site's lined stormwater management area, because that's what they have, right? So you know what we're talking about here. If all of this goes into Tampa Bay, the wastewater, wow. The possibility of a second leak is awful. And the water would be, like, poisonous. It'd be toxic, in other words. So I guess is a better way to say that. And they're making some progress. The reservoir has a mix of salt water, fresh water, wastewater, fertilizer runoff, and they're trying to prevent a collapse and a catastrophic flood. If it's a catastrophic flood and it gushes out, a breach would mean 300 million gallons in a 20-foot high wall of water. Yikes. So stretches of Highway 41 have been closed off. I know a lot of people are listening to us in Florida, and people in about 316 homes have been evacuated. You've got that, you know, a 77-acre pond area that we're talking about. And they're moving the water out at a rate of about 35 million gallons a day in the morning. And more pumps are being added so they can keep on doing that. And it's scary. You think of a lake that's polluted, and have you ever seen a lake like that where you've had an overflow, a breach? Ooh, sickening. It's contaminated water. And that contaminated water would flow into a beautiful area. It would flow into Tampa Bay, and it would be deadly. I mean, it would be so polluted you couldn't swim in it. If you caught a fish, you can't eat it. That's a very, very ominous thing that is on the brink there. On the brink. Hasn't happened. They're doing everything they can, but there's also the chance that they could have that wall of water. So whatever it takes to try to prevent that collapse and that catastrophic flood, hopefully they'll be able to do that. Otherwise, when we take the show there in 2 weeks, I'll be able to give you a real sense of what it's like in Tampa Bay. We're talking about the drafts with Valerie Clayton next. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Dr. James Campbell joins us. He's been a psychiatrist, think of this, 50 years. He's written a book called Blame and Anger, Their Relationship, Their Extinction. Boy, did I learn a lot when we talked off air. Hey, Dr. Campbell, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into the book, 50 years in the profession, did you, as you look in growing up, and when we talked, you were talking about being an Illinois farm boy, and then you decided to be a doctor, then you decided to be a doctor of the mind. Has it been a rewarding career?
Yes, very rewarding. Actually, I wanted to be a doctor that worked with the mind starting about 6 years of age.
Wow. And you've seen a lot of things. Do you think with the advancements in your field and the ways of doing things, do you think it's better? That there's more hope for treating people?
Well, I think we gain insight with time, and certainly the you know, medications and things have improved over time. So, yes, there's an improvement.
And in your book, Blame and Anger, Their Relationship, Their Extinction, that title pretty much tells it all. Explain what the book's about.
Well, basically, it's a look at the cause of anger, and blaming is really at the heart of it. And when I can get my patients to stop blaming, it improves their life tremendously.
Yeah. And I know, of course, if you read the book, then you get all these insights. But give us a little sneak of it. How do you stop blaming?
Well, it's a choice. And unfortunately, it's a part of our language which is just not paid attention to. Our teachers teach us how to speak correctly. They do not teach us how to speak accurately. And blaming is a form of inaccurate speech. So the only time it's appropriate is when dealing with the physical world. And again, it's one of those things that teachers don't teach very well. There's a physical world and a psychological world, and we need a language for both. We don't have a very good language for both, and it confuses people. The blaming is cause and effect language, and in the physical world, it's appropriate speech, but in the psychological world, it doesn't make any sense at all.
And that's where people run into trouble.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So you've seen people that you've gotten them to understand that, and what is that like? It has to be a whole new world for them.
You're absolutely correct that, people will actually say that, that it's amazing. You know, I've had people leave my office, go to their business and pull everybody together and give them the talk that I've given them and say, we got to stop this stuff that we've been doing. And that just makes a major difference in their own life and in their company life and everything.
Yeah. What made you decide to write the book? Is it because of what you discovered and that not a lot of people are talking about it necessarily?
Yes, that's certainly a major reason. It's just something that's so obvious in a way and yet so hidden in the fact that it's overlooked. We have, in my opinion, many psychiatric problems that are created by our speech and our speech pattern, and nobody even pays attention to that.
Yeah. When did you trip onto that? In the beginning of your career, as you were treating more and more people, how did you discover that this is really the way to solve this?
Well, it wasn't something I learned in my residency programs or anything. I initially began to move more towards treating people for self-esteem issues. And kind of out of the self-esteem issues, I looked more at what it was they were telling themselves and realized that just our speech itself is causing problems. And from that, beginning to see that blaming really was the center of anger.
When people read blame and anger, their relationship, their extinction, because that's powerful, their extinction, what do you hope they take away?
Well, just that, it's that our speech is not benign. It's one of our major teachers. The things we keep telling ourselves over and over again become the things that we believe. And, a simple thing like you make me mad, 22, people a minute are abused in this country. Why are they abused? Well, think about it. If I see people and I attribute my feelings to them, you make me mad, you make me angry, you make me this, you make me that, pretty soon I'm going to be in a mood to attack them because I feel they're creating this bad feeling I have. That's just one simple statement.
Oh, that's a great example, too, because certainly we have seen that in recent times with politics and all kinds of things in our culture. And not even having a close relationship with someone, how people are fueled by that. So you make me mad. So you would say that if somebody says you make me mad, how do they turn that around?
Well, other people are not responsible for our feeling. Again, blaming is a style of distorted thinking. And, if you look at society in this current time, blaming seems to be the thing that is masterful out there. I mean, listen to some of the news and you'll hear blaming and, 5 or 6 times in 10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dr. James Campbell, Blame and Anger, Their Relationship, Their Extinction. Thanks for joining us.
You're quite welcome. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So interesting in talking about anger and the whole blaming thing. And I think especially in recent years, we've seen what's happened. And the consequences of that and the consequences of, as he's talking about, the consequences of what happens with blame. And it's interesting in pulling that out of conversations and seeing that. And, of course, anger in general and blaming others for how we manage anger is a strategy, a defensive one at that, that helps you to avoid recognizing and experiencing difficult, of course, and challenging things and challenging feelings, which can include anything from disappointment to feeling inadequate or powerless or, pick something. Shame equally is awful. Guilt, hurt, blaming is like other formal defense mechanisms. It's a strategy that some people use to help preserve self-esteem, and it's an attempt to kind of disown feelings that are too uncomfortable. and that create that sense of shame, I guess. So blame, especially when you combine it with the toxic anger, it's not that accountability. It's not taking responsibility for whatever the behavior is. And I love that he talks so much about the language and what the language is, and listening to language. It's kind of like if you could, and you know, it's like when people ask you this question, when you wish you could take some words back, and you go back and you listen to what was being said or what you said, and you just don't realize what keeps coming up in your language again and again and again and again and again and again. And blaming is certainly one of those. I think blaming is certainly one of those things, and putting the two together, blame and anger, and how you manage it is so key. The more resilient you are, and he talks about what happens, he said it there, what happens when you lift that veil, then those moments, those minutes, those things that happen in interactions are diffused, and you're like a different person. Right? Because it's just a very strange circle of going round and round and round again, when we know that life has challenges and people. I think the biggest problem a lot of times with people is they have no idea what the other person is going through or what they've gone through. So your interactions also go through that filter of not knowing, and then ultimately, what does that mean, and how does that come out in the wash, so to speak? So very, very powerful book, and a powerful way to change that thinking around and those interactions around. That's for sure. All right, coming up on the tail end of the show, just a couple of quick hits, including a shout out to Baylor, who routed Gonzaga, as I open up the show with that, to first win their first NCAA men's basketball title and end the Bulldogs' dream of that perfect season. Ooh, very sad for them, but very happy for Baylor, huh? That's sports. Thanks to all of you for listening. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells, everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people, and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.